the masses, men of every bird, form and after. Jesus gave the key. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Oh, Lord, lift up the Savior for men to see. And he said it by.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
Home and auto bundled saves you cash. The mesh of the two together, smooth like leather. The two bundled together, life is so sweet like an orange. Nothing rhymes with orange. I'm sorry.
Bundle home and auto and save with Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Dr. Gregory Scott, welcome you to WGUM. You must come in at the door, featuring Vinnie Cummings. Amen. We're so glad that you're on the program. and I want you to know that I've lost my screen, and we will have to tune back to you very shortly. Amen. Why? Yes, indeed. Here we are. You must come in today. And Pastor Patricia Benjamin will be with you at the end of this talk. Amen.
Amen. We thank God for Jesus, and we thank Jesus for his blood. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. How about you? Is this day recognizable from you that you did not make this day yourself, that the day came from the Lord? You see, every day is a different day. Every day has a new sensation in it. It has the newness about it. What took place on yesterday was not on the calendar for today or tomorrow. For just a while ago, we had a storm here in New York, but the storm passed over us. I have an electric stove, and I was trying to make my dinner, so I just spoke out in the kitchen, said, Lord, I'm trying to make my dinner. Please let the storm pass over. And I thought about the song that said, there's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you're surely drift away. I tell you, you got to have your anchor rooted and grounded in the place where it belongs, so that when the storm comes, your anchor will hold your boat, your yacht, your canoe, whatever, in the water. It will hold it right where you put it. And so we thank God for there are storms in our life, but because we are anchored in the Lord, Douglas Miller sings the song, though the storms keep on raging in my life, and there are times when it's hard to tell the night from day, but still there's a hope that lies within me. It reassures as I keep my eyes upon, I know he will lead me safely to that place he has prepared. But, he says, if the storm don't cease, and the winds, they keep on blowing in my life, I want you to know that my soul is anchored in the Lord. Had the storm continue to get fierce and causing the lights to go off and on, well, there's a thing called lunch meat. That would have been my anchor. And no, it would not have been the baked chicken that I was trying to prepare, or the rice-a-roni, the mashed sweet potatoes or whipped sweet potatoes and the cauliflower and the broccoli. No, they would not have gotten done. You always have a backup. when you got Jesus. I had plenty of lunch meat in the meat drawer. Got some cheese also, little lettuce. I could have had a sandwich. But however, God was mindful to let the storm cease, and my dinner got done. And I tell you, I did eat and enjoy my food. So again, I like to say to my listeners, however way you listen, this is the day that the Lord hath made. No one else made this day but the Lord himself. Ah, I love Jesus. No one else. Those of us that live here on this East Coast, out on Long Island, and out in the Hamptons, and where we are here, there's an ocean about 3 miles away from where I am right now. It's the Atlantic Ocean. And we know something about the storms. I was telling a friend of mine that I've seen houses floating in the ocean. The refrigerator is over there in the water, and the stove is over there, and the clothes, you didn't see them float. They just went on down. But you know, there's a scripture that comes to mind where it lets us know, and I need to find it because someone won't believe me, that says the sea, there's a time coming when the pelican, Google it, that's right, Google it, when the pelican is going to pluck away every grain of sand. Have you been down to the water and seen all the sand? Have you been to the ocean here? I've even gone to the Pacific Ocean in Florida where the water is just gorgeous. It looked like aqua. I was mesmerized by how beautiful the water looked. Listen here. It was so beautiful. When the bishop and I was standing there gazing at the water, I was just carried away because I'm saying, why does he want to take me to the water? Doesn't he know where I live? But I'm used to water, that I've got the Atlantic Ocean all around me. That why do he think I would be fascinated with the water? But however, Bishop Davis took me to the water, and I pretended that it was all right. But oh my God, as we walked through the sand with no shoes on and we got to the water, I saw how beautiful that Pacific was. Oh my God. And you know what's so fascinating to me about the God that I know? The water can look blue. It can look aqua. It can have such beautiful colors to it. And you go and you put your hand in the water and you pick it up. It's as clear as a crystal. But laying there in the body, it looks as if it's colored water. No man cannot touch that. God is beyond awesome. Yeah, a man would, you know, call a man awesome, call a woman awesome, but God don't fit with me in that category. He's who he says he is. I'm just almighty. Oh, bless his name. And after saying he's almighty, and if you want to add awesome, go right ahead, because he's an almighty awesome God. Woo-hoo! He reigns forever and ever. He's an awesome God. I tell you, I'm excited, and you know that as you listen to me on Thursday morning at 10, or on the fourth Wednesday at 7:30, or on the first Sunday, or the fourth Sunday. I think this first Sunday we did play hooky. Dr. Scott told me to go ahead on and start the program, and I said, listen, let them go in the archives and pull up something that they haven't heard. Because there's a lot of sermons that I've preached for the last going into 4 years come October that you all haven't even listened to. Some were very lengthy. Some went almost an hour and a half because I felt like I had to use up the whole hour and a half. But then as I grow, you know, as we grow, we learn as we grow. As we go and as we go, we grow. As we grow, we go. Got that? Okay, that's a mouthful by itself. So I realized that I didn't have to keep you on the air for an hour and a half to listen to what thus saith the Lord, my dean, where I went to classes at for ministry. My dean says if you preach longer than 45 minutes, you've lost most of your audience anyhow. Well, that's true in a sense, but if you're really under the anointing and God is speaking, maybe the 500 I lost, but that one stuck it out because that word was for them and not for the 500. So you can't judge in a crowd of folk who you're feeding. Did you hear what I'm saying? You cannot judge that with your naturalness. You cannot judge who I'm feeding. Yes, it's 500 people sitting there, but out of the 500, only 3 may be dining on what the Word of God says. The others are just sitters and lookers. But 3 people came away out of the 500 saying, that word was for me. So then if that be the case, then my preaching or my teaching is not in vain. Uh-huh. It's not in vain. If I can help one somebody, then my living will not be in the. If I can help somebody as I travel along, if I can show somebody that they're going wrong, if I can tell somebody, just one somebody, then my living will not be in vain. My living will not be in vain. How about you? Do you have that testimony that, oh my God, I told someone about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, and it made a difference in my life. Did you all? And don't try to act like you're holier than thou. My goddaughter started me to look at this have and have not. And I thought it was a very sinful thing. And I said, I'm not going to be watching that mess, that junk, and getting that in my spirit and getting all messed up. But when I watch it, and she's a fan of it, really, she began to explain to me who was who had done this or done that, who said this or said that. I paid attention so that I could be informed and know something. But, you know, watching the program last night, and I believe the boy's name is Jeffrey, and I forgot what they call his friend. What was his friend's name? Y'all know his name. Anyhow, Wyatt, thank you, Jesus. Wyatt is laying there in a hospital bed because he OD'd on all kinds of drugs. But Jeffrey met Hannah outside of the boy's room, and he felt like, because he was gay, God didn't like him. Or perhaps he felt from what he said that I never went to church. I don't know how to pray. But Hannah, she didn't condemn him. She comforted him. She talked to him as he was a human being. This is the way God sees us. Yes, though we are messed up folk, some of everything is going on in our lives. And yet we do go sit up in the house of God with no change. But this young man started confessing no sooner. I don't pray because I never have prayed because I was never taught to pray. Well, that's not hard to believe as evil as his mother is. She has never had an encounter with Jesus. But I tell you, I know Tyler is going to write and keep on writing, but he got to find a script to fit her. That she meet Jesus like Paul did on the road to Damascus, and his life was changed. Paul wrote many of these books in the New Testament, but he couldn't write about the Jesus that he really didn't know until a change came in his life. And that's what's going to have to happen to this boy's mother if she don't die before the change comes. But Jeffrey, even though he has a different sexual appetite, let me put it that way, a sexual appetite, his appetite is, well, let me say it like this, Jeffrey's appetite is like mine. Oh, bless his name. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, you gay? No, I like men. That's how we're connected. I like men and Jeffrey likes men. But the difference being, I am a female. Oh, bless his name. So I'm not putting Jeffrey down. Jeffrey has a soul, and Hannah knew that. That's why she said, I'll be there for you. Call me. I'll be there for you. And that's just like God. Though we are sinners, he said, call me. God, thank you. Call me. I'll be there for you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you have done, it's ugly. I don't like what you've done, but just call me. Hey, God, just call me. Songwriter said, now I know why God dropped that song in my spirit a few days ago. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I'll come running to winter, spring, summer, fall. All you got to do is just call and I'll be there, the Lord said. Why? Because he's saying you got a friend. Ah, we got a friend in Jesus. Yes, our sins may be ugly. A smell, a stink smell in the nostrils of God. But just call me, he said. I can override the smell. I can get to your heart and your soul. And I can also work with your mind. But call me. That's what I need you to do. I'm a great listener, saith the Lord. I'm a heart fixer and a mind regulator. They that call upon the Lord, the scripture said, shall be saved. From the corruption and the things that's going on in their mind and in their call on the Lord, your God. You're struggling with something, call me. I'll fix it. That's why we Christians sing songs that mean so much. Call him and tell him what you want. If you want your body healed, call him. Tell him what you want. Call Jesus. Ooh, I feel good. You all know that by now, don't you? I feel good, good. Call on the Lord. Ooh, and he'll answer. Yes, he will. You may be messed up from the flow call on the fixer. What the song said, let Jesus fix it for you. Mm-hmm. For he knows just what to do. So whenever you pray, let the Lord have his way. Let Jesus fix it for you. I'm sitting here and I just saw the jail doors open and this young man walked out with his freedom. I don't know who this is for, but I know what I see in the spirit. So you know what? Even if you're not listening tonight, when you go in the archives and in 6 months from now, your loved one could be the one that the Lord is talking about, in addition to those who already let out before you even call on the Lord. I love Jesus. He's real in my soul. Anyone come to me with a different gospel than Jesus Christ, superstar, Jesus Christ crucified and rose again, I have no time for that. I have no time for that. Men ought to always pray and never faint. You can chant, you can moan, you can hum, you can do whatever, but it's still Jesus. As a woman said today when I was watching the paternity, you know, program, and the grandmother, intended grandmother, said, you know, it really is not about my son or the girl who's claiming that my son impregnated her. She said, because when it's all said and done, it's not about either one of them. It's about this 26-year-old girl here. She needs to know who her father is. And it's important that you know who your father is. Do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? And if you have Jesus, you have God. And if you have God, you got Jesus. There's no way in the world that you can say, well, the only one really exists is God. Or the only one is you know, it's a new day now. God not important. It's just Jesus only. I don't know how you're going to separate the grease out of the biscuit when it was all incorporated to make the biscuit. And the grease helps to hold the biscuit form that you made. You try making a biscuit without grease and water or shortening and water. You try making that biscuit with just flour. Come on now. You can put all the baking powder you want in that flour and incorporate it, but if you don't have that lard, some people use vegetable shortening oil and some water, then you just don't have that biscuit. You just got a mess. And that's what it is when you separate God from Jesus and Jesus from God. You got a mess going on in your mind. Because I don't care who the preacher is that told you that Jesus is not important or God is not important. Jesus died for us, not God. Don't you know God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? How are you going to separate them? Jesus came behind for people like you that say it don't count, it don't matter. And he said, I and my Father are one. Mm-hmm. One. So there's nowhere in the world that you can go in that biscuit and get the grease from that biscuit and it's still a biscuit. You can't go in and snatch the milk out. You know, I make pie crusts, and there's nowhere in the world that I can take that water out of that crust and still call it a pie crust. It can't happen. So that's some of you all's problem. That's why your anchor doesn't hold in the storm, because the ingredients that you need for your anchor to hold, you don't have it. You've got a form, and that's about it. I tell you, I have a good time talking to you all on Thursdays. I tell you, I recall, and sometimes Dr. Scott and I just laugh about it. He'll tease me, and I think it's beautiful that he teases me with a reminder, and he said, I remember when I first asked you about going on the air, and you said, oh, no, I'm not doing that, not me. And I was so nervous. In 2012, I was supposed to go on the fourth Sunday in September, and I just could not get myself together to do it. I just couldn't do it. I was terrified. I was just, I can't do that. But he was insistent. He says, okay, I'm not going to push you for the fourth Sunday in September. I said, thank you, Jesus. He says, but the fourth Sunday in October, no excuses. And I said, oh, my God, I can't do this. But thanks be to God. God provided a kitchen sink. I was there at the house of a loved one. And God told me to take my Bible and go into the kitchen and put my Bible on the counter and look out of the kitchen window. And there was a tall shrubbery-type tree there outside, not directly where I could reach out the window and touch it, but it was in the yard. And God said, you'll find me in the midst of the trees. I said, oh, my God, you are with me. He said, mm-hmm. And as I looked out that window, I'd look back at my Bible and I'd read. And then I'd look out of that window. I did my whole sermon looking out of that kitchen window. God allowed me to draw strength from the tree that was in the yard. Now, if God can allow that, why are you still in these storms? Call him. Tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up. He's there. He's listening. He's ready. He's willing. He's able. All right. You hear me looking through my Bible. I've got a few more minutes and we're going to close this broadcast. Again, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Always acknowledge that. You'd be surprised how smooth your day will go. Oh, bless his name. Romans, the fifth chapter. I wanted to bring my message from the sixth chapter as well. So I might hop over from one chapter to the next, because sometimes we theologians, we know what we're talking about, but the people listening can't quite gather the meat because they don't really know why are you saying this? What are you talking about? But let's go to the fifth chapter of Romans, starting at the first verse. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at the word. Look at the word. I just told you, you can't separate them. It's not Jesus only. It's not God only. It's the both of them. They work together. Yeah, I call God's name a lot, but I know when I call God, he knows that I'm not neglecting Jesus. He knows my heart. He knows what's in there. I'm not one of these God people only or Jesus people only. I want the whole package. Oh, bless his name. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have this grace. Mm-hmm. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You all know I'm excited. I'm reading from my new Spirit-filled Bible. Oh, bless his name. And not only that, tell somebody it's more to it. And not only that, I'm reading the scripture now. I'm not making this up. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Honey, things get rough. It's hard sometimes, but we still thank God for the trials and the tribulation. We thank God for the storms in our life because God proves himself to us through the storms that I'm able to keep you. The enemy can't take you out. He can't touch you in your storm. I'm with you in your storm. I'm watching you. I'm protecting you. I'm even bragging on you, telling the devil she's going to make it. Not if she tried, but she's going to make it because her faith is in me not to fail her or her. Oh, God, I tell you, I like being black sometimes. Her, that's how I say it. Woo. Knowing that, this is the third verse, tribulation produces persevere. My King James said produces patience. Mm-hmm. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Look out. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Look out. Look out. The Holy Ghost has just come in to the picture. And I talked about God being God. And God being in Jesus, and I talked about Jesus being Jesus and Jesus in God. But now there is a third person, the Holy Ghost. So that's how it's called the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Ooh, my God. I like the word of God. You all need to fall in love with Jesus. You'll sing, it's the best thing I ever done. Listen to this. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Lord, I need to snatch my King James just for a minute. Give me just a minute. Let me get there. Come on, Bible. Help me get there. Come on, Bible. I don't want Peter tonight. I want Romans. Come on, Bible. Help me. Help me. I usually have this already laid out, but, hey, I need to go there right now. Praise be to God. Let me work it like this so that I can work with my word here. Romans here and there. And it lets us know that that verse that I just read was 5. And then I went down and picked up 6. All right, it says here in my King James, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So you see, Christ died for Jeffrey. Let me just put Jeffrey here. He's playing the part. I really don't know him personally, and he's probably not gay at all, but he's getting paid
to play the role. And because we're living in a real world and this type of stuff is going on, is it new? No, no, no. The Bible lets us know that there's nothing new under the sun. So whatever's going on was already here. I had someone laughing today when I talked about, matter of fact, when I was speaking with Dr. Scott earlier, and I was telling Dr. Scott that my boy's wife, Lot's wife, she loved that sin so much. I even called the girl a bisexual. I think she was working with men and women. She was just having herself a ball. She loved sin so much until the decree went out, the order went out of God that if anyone, I'm sparing your life by letting you leave the city because I'm fixed to destroy the city. I'm going to burn it up. I'm going to get rid of the sin and the people full of sin in this city called Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to get rid of it. I can't stand no more. I like to say I get that Popeye spirit. And you all know, you children, I think some of y'all was children at one time. But and Popeye had been beaten pretty good by old Bluto. And old Bluto just beat on Popeye and all the Popeye. She's screaming and acting a fool. And Popeye realizes, I got help. Oh, my God. Now, if Popeye can realize that he got help, how come you can't realize that you got help in your tribulations, in your storm? How come you can't know that? See, Popeye had his can of spinach. His pipe was a can opener. He opened up his spinach. Popeye needed help. Because if he hadn't, my boy was going to beat him to death. But when Popeye realized, hey, I ain't got to be beat like this, because greater is he that is in me than he that's out there in the world. And you might as well say blues in the world. So Popeye got that spinach, and Popeye said, I've been beat long enough. I can't stand no more. I've got to now use my source. I got to use my source so that I can come out from under this whooping. I want to come out the winner at the finishing line, but I got to get my help because my help cometh from the Lord. And that's what you are saying. You don't have your pipe and all of that, but you know what? Saying I'm tired of you kicking my butt. I know some of y'all held your breath. You thought I was going to say kicking my butt. Uh-huh. And you are at a crossroad, and you are trying to fight the enemy without any help. But as soon as you realize that I got help, I've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it will make the devil back up off of you. But as long as you ignore the fact that you've got help, you're going to get whooped. Soon as Popeye got that spinach, boyfriend had some strength, you hear me? He didn't get beat anymore. But I don't understand, though, why Popeye kept getting in a fight with this man, because Popeye know he had his spinach. I don't know why he went through all those punches. I need to talk to Popeye. So do you really like being punched out? And that's what I'm saying to some of you. You really like the devil kicking your butt, and yet you let him do it every week, all year long? And Jesus is saying, I've given you my son. I've given you what you need, my son. My son gave his life while before you was even thought of, while you were yet a sinner, while you was yet without strength, without hope, without help. Hey, my son died for you. I heard a man sing a song while he was on the cross. I was on his mind. And he had every right to say that because it was at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart, they rolled away because it was there by faith that I received my sight. Now, oh my God, hey, thank you. Now, I'm happy. Oh, today I tell y'all, you know, you shouldn't mess with me. I get excited, you know, when you start telling me about the word of God. And verse number 7 said, For a righteous man will one die. Okay, I've got my King James. Yet, preadventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. So I've got much smaller writing. This is a little hand Bible here. It's fine print. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. If you didn't come by the blood, you haven't gotten there yet. If you didn't come by the blood of Jesus Christ, nothing can clean up your sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you didn't come through the blood of Jesus Christ, you haven't been cleansed yet. My God in heaven, the word is right. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. See, you don't, listen, the devil's little stuff that he got is really light. But when God put the wrath on you, you in bad shape for being disobedient. Much more. Now to go down here to this 10th verse. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his, thank you, Jesus. We shall be saved by, come on, page and turn, by, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I tell you, I love the word of God. It is so good. It is so good. And if I go over here to this sixth chapter of Romans, not far. I was in 5, now I'm in 6. I stopped reading after verse, well, let's do verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, one man sinned, Adam, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses in over from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Oh, God, look out. He got something free for you, baby. For if though, if through the offense of one many be dead. Ooh, just that one man sin made us all be dead. That's terrible. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. Look out. And not as if was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, I know you got to know now that Jesus has got it going on. And that's who you need. So now listen, there's a conversation going on here in that sixth chapter. After now, the sixth verse, the fifth verse has not ended yet. The sixth verse goes up to verse 21, but I'm going over that to get to this. I've got about 6 minutes left. And it says, what shall we say then? Now, look here. That sounds like something we would say on the hill. So what's going on here? So what, we ain't supposed to go to church no more? I mean, what are we supposed to do? How are we going to do it? How does it go? You mean I ain't got to go to church now? Because I already, look, so they go back, they ask the question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That grace may abound. So then, okay, so we got grace now. So we don't have to live, right? We got grace. Oh, my God. I don't have to obey what the word of God says. I got grace. I don't have to do anything but. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Come on. How are we going to do this? I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to work this out. I never had to do this before. So then what am I? I can keep on sinning because grace came because through that one man, Adam blew it, and now Jesus came and cleaned up the mess, so, and he gave us some grace. Can we keep on sinning? What do we do? We got grace so we can keep on sinning. We got, what? Hey, look, let's read the book. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Uh-oh. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I mean, these folks is confused. Let's read the book. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Huh? They're asking questions. Come on. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Come on now. You're getting a little better understanding here. Who are you supposed to be? And how you're supposed to carry yourself. I'm supposed to carry myself in the likeness, the manner of Jesus Christ. I'm not supposed to be out there on the corner cussing someone out. I shouldn't be in the store getting mad because the lady can't find her money. Supposed to be like Christ. She's 3 pennies short. The girl at the cash register can't let her slide. It'll come out of her check. Get the go in your pocketbook. Tell the lady I'll pay for it. Go ahead. That's like Christ. To be like Jesus. Let's read the book. I forgot where I was. I'll find it. Oh, the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh God, this is so good. You all get your Bibles and continue to read this. I'm going on down here to the 18th verse. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. You have become a servant now. You're to serve. You're to do the things that Christ would do. You're to help people. I told you, if I can help somebody, then my living will not be in vain. Let's go down here to 24. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. While you're serving sin, you're free from righteousness. You can't do them both. They don't work in the same body. You either righteous unto God or you unto the devil. You cannot serve two masters. You can't sit at the table and drink from the Lord's cup and then go out there and grab the devil's cup and start drinking from that one. They don't mix. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. And if you're drinking from the devil's cup, you have nothing. But if you drink from God's fountain, he'll be a well springing up in you that shall never die. You got to make a difference. You got to distinguish. Who do you want to serve? Do you want to live for God or do you want to live for the devil? Make up your mind. Which road are you on? Are you on the road to destruction, chaos, trouble? Or are you on the way to eternal life? And beside that, what eternal life do you want to live? Do you want to live the gift? Or do you want to live eternal life? Some fool would say, I want to live eternal life. Make me no difference. The devil is a liar. It does make a difference. Because you see, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. You're going to spend it somewhere. So if you want to spend eternity, go right ahead. But if you want to spend your eternity the way that the Bible says here, the Word of God says, let's go. I don't know if I even read that. Okay, let's try this verse number. I think we did 18 and did 24. Yes. Were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Verse number 21 says, what fruit had ye then in those things? Well, ye are now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit, oh God, unto holiness. If your fruit is not unto holiness, your fruit is tainted. It ain't no good. It's rotten. It stinks. It's to be thrown away. Can't eat it. Oh, my God. You think you can do anything? Yeah, it's my thing, and I do what I want to do. And you can't tell me who to serve. Songs say who to sock it to. But the Lord made it plain. Choose ye this day who you going to serve. If man be man, then serve man. If God be God, then serve God. But you either love the one or hate the other one. So which one do you love? Who do you love? Do you love God or do you love the devil? Are you like Lot's wife? The Bible says, I believe, somewhere in Luke's gospel. And look at her, this chick, she loves sin so much. Till God was sparing her life, but she loves sin. I told you, that chick was a hooker. I'm telling you, she was married, but she was hooking. She was crooking. She was doing it all, you hear me? She was enjoying sin. She was calling herself having a ball. But because her husband loved God, God said, I'll spare your bipolar, bionic, all of it. Everybody is. She lay with men and women. It might even been a few dogs. I don't know. I ain't read all of that. But you can just imagine what she was doing while her husband was living holy, trying to serve God. Well, they didn't have the Holy Ghost present at that time, in that day. But he knew that he kept the commandments, the ordinance of God. And that's what made him a candidate to be a righteous, upright man. Lot's wife was destroyed because the chick couldn't turn sin or loose. How about you? Yeah. She was bisexual, all them things. She just loved sin. She enjoyed everything that sin gave her, the wine and everything. She just loved it so much till God told him, said, listen, get your wife and leave the city because I'm fixing to destroy the city. And everybody in there is going down. There ain't going to be no escaping. Everybody is going down at my command. But I'm going to spare you whatever and whoever you take with you will be safe. They'll be saved from my wrath. Boyfriend took his wife because he loved the girl. Girlfriend couldn't take it. She couldn't stand to be righteous. She couldn't stand to be saved. She didn't want to live right. She loved the pleasures of sin more than her life. She loved sin. God put a command and said, listen, leave the city. And if anyone looks back, I will turn them into a pillar of salt I haven't been over there to see her, but my minister traveled over there, and he said she is still there, looking back for the city that God has destroyed. You don't want to be like that, do you? For the scripture says here, in this sixth chapter here, as we are reading, 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You cannot get your eternal life through Buddha, Confucius, Al Trump, or what is his name, boy's name, Donald Trump, Yankee Doodle, Donald Duck. Don't make no difference. You can't even get eternal life through Hillary, but you can get it through Jesus Christ, God's Son. May the Lord God bless you. Real good. This is my prayer until we meet again. Think on these things. Amen.
Welcome to AT&T.
Hi, can you tell us more about rollover data?
Yeah, well, what do we have to do?
Not a thing. If you're a mobile share value customer, your unused plan data automatically rolls over.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth.